You're listening to Rooftop Sessions, supported by Ogden Media, Bayside Bowl, and now we're supported by Zoom, the best way to get together, see all your friends, and talk some smack about bowling.
Loved you all a long, long while. Looked down into a deep, dark well. Called all your names, they echoed down for miles and miles. And all that other mystical well, never you mind.
Is this the third week in a row, or is this the fourth week in a row? I think it's the third, but it might be the fourth.
I think it's the fourth.
It is the fourth. For the fourth straight week, welcome to Rooftop Sessions. This is now the weekly podcast about Bowl.
No, it's
Portland.
The third.
It's the fourth
weekly podcast.
We did one by ourselves. Then we had the one with like 16 pros.
Introduce yourself.
And then we had this one. So joining us on the podcast from the lake, we have Carl Hungus, and we also have West. Hey, West. How you doing?
Hey, West.
What's up, guys?
Hi to us.
How's West it going? A pretty serious battle in that 6-pound ball. We showed live 6-pound ball match.
Yeah.
We aired the 10th to get a 99, and I struck in the 10th to get a 100.
It's legendary. And West, it's not nice of your dad to beat you like that.
West had him on the ropes too, and West was keep checking in. Who's on now, Dad? How many are we up to? What do we got?
How many people are watching?
West, did you think you were going to beat him?
Video.
No comment.
Moving on.
Yeah,
well, I think
he's going to be moving on. But we have Hungus joining us from the lakeside this time. We got Cheese from his media room dungeon.
That's right.
And we also have
on the second floor.
Thunder from my bedroom at Thunder's house.
First floor here.
That's right. Hey, boys, what's new? What's exciting?
You guys take the canoe out anything, today?
Yeah, we had the canoe out this morning. We went all around the islands checking things out. Pretty nice down on the lake. Also, we brought it back. We had a lot of staff back on at Bayside Bowl this week, which was kind of cool. We're doing a lot of projects, cleaning up the roof, just trying to stay positive and optimistic about opening sometime. So we're getting all the projects done, some repainting, some reflooring, a lot of projects. It's cool. Feels like you're making some progress.
Nice. Charlie, do you think when we reopen that they'll make you have like a limited number inside, like social distancing to a point will have to be done, or just wait till all that is gone by?
I assume we'll have to open with limited numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if it was mostly roof or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're ready for whatever, obviously. Like to get open as soon as it's safe. But the roof, I think, will be a little more appealing to people. You know, it's outdoors, everything else. Bowling, I mean, the way Popo works anyway, everybody's bowling by themselves on one lane in practice time. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
There might be regulations about lanes apart or how many people. I mean, we'll make it work. Whatever we can do to be open, we'll do
right.
as soon as we can.
Yeah, definitely.
Didn't Tim Mack tell us that when he was in South Korea and they were opening up, they had like every other pair of lanes were open or something like that?
Yeah, maybe something like that. I mean, I'm not sure any of that is more than cosmetic, but at least whatever is whatever the regulations are, we'll follow them, and hopefully we can, you know, get some people in there safely.
Six people on lane 9, 6 people on lane 10, then nothing on 11 and 12, so it's totally safe.
Yeah. 6 feet between all of them.
But the roof, I mean, I'm really hopeful about the roof. I mean, I think that even if we could have 50 people on the roof, that'd be pretty fun to have that. We released the summer movie schedule very optimistically again, just hoping. And actually, it's in a really cool, it's kind of reassuring mode is we've had a few weddings in June that have moved to next year. And we're also now starting to get a bunch of inquiries about summer weddings for 2021. So at least people who aren't doing stuff now are still thinking, you know, things will be normal by next summer. And that's cool to have that coming in for the business. And, yeah, most people,
if heat kills this thing, the roof is the place to be.
Yeah, at least
right.
I could imagine having to push my wedding a year back, though. Wow.
Right. So, Cheese, you and Strike Dancer got engaged recently, and you guys contemplated this summer, but settled on next summer. So you must kind of feel relieved about that?
Yeah, definitely relieved. Although now I'm realizing people who need to reschedule might be jumping into you know, our pool of vendors. We got our venue though, so we're good. What's funny is our neighbors are getting married this year, at the end of this year, end of September. And they've already had something be affected, like
backyard Zoom wedding.
Thunder will marry you guys.
Dearly beloved.
They've already had to move a couple of things because of it, like that were happening in June. So, you know. Hello?
Yeah, we heard you. Like, what else has been moving?
Pick it up. Pick it up, Oscu Palermo.
Yeah, Jesus. Did we lose cheese? No, we didn't.
No,
no offense, Oscu.
All right. So here's something. Here's a question I have for this crew, because we've all been drinking a lot of different and unique local beers throughout this quarantine, where for whatever reason, like, we're doing a lot more experimentation. We're getting random beers and stuff. So what's the best beer you guys have drank in the last month? Because we've all tried a bunch of new different beers.
Don't go to your old staple either. Something new that you tasted. I had one last night that I got from the Bayside Wings on Thursday. It's like Foundation on the Wings of something like that. It's an IPA.
On the Wing.
I had never had it. It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So if you see that.
I can't remember the last foundation I've had. So that's great.
It was yummy.
I had a good Fire Prime, which I'd never get. I never get it. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe how good it was.
It's really good. Actually, I had Viridian recently that was really good as well. Viridian IPA by Bandit, but I had a batch of fresh Simmer Down, like kegged an hour, or sorry, canned an hour before I had it, and it was amazing.
Sebago Simmer Down?
Yeah.
I had another one from that six pack. I had the Waves by Goodfire. That was amazing. I'd never had a Waves before, and it was super good.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff.
Hungus, how about you? You got a whole cooler going through.
I do. I've been working through it. The Viridian on draft I had never had, and that really was amazing. And then, but delicious. All of the cans, the one I keep coming back to is the Lux. Definitely still my favorite. I'm about to let Ronnie in, guys.
Perfect. Ronnie.
Oh, all right. All right. So everyone who's about to join us is, he's not quite here. Hold on.
Efforting.
Yeah. He's from Indiana. He's going over the phone line still.
About to have a here it comes. About to get on. Bong. Here we are, Jenna Jameson. Start to download.
Hold on.
Ah, damn it.
Maybe he's there. Are you there on audio, Ronnie? Nope.
Nope, he's still working on it. He's
keep going on Jim and Jameson, Mike.
Yeah.
He's coming in, I think.
Yeah, tell us a little
bit. There he is. Hey. We got him.
Nice.
There we go. I don't know if we have his audio yet. Ronnie, can you hear us?
Working on it.
That's a negative.
No, we can't get to
you. See him at least.
No. We got it. Yeah.
He's working on it. We have visual.
Yeah, 1 minute.
Thank you, John.
1 minute. Stand by.
Russell,
not everybody in Indiana went to Notre Dame.
He went to Notre Dame?
I said not everybody in Indiana went to Notre Dame. Hopefully his audio's still off.
I don't know if he could ever hear us. Maybe he could hear us, but we couldn't hear him. But that wouldn't make sense.
Well, it's been a pleasure having Ronnie Russell on the show today. Oh, here he
is. Ronnie, are you there now?
He doesn't have a little – it's connecting to audio. It says.
Yeah, he's connecting.
I'm up
a bit better.
He's there.
He's there.
Ronnie is in the middle.
Yeah, Ronnie.
All right, everyone. Hey, let's welcome Ronnie Russell into the show.
From what's up,
Indiana,
dude?
I assume.
Welcome.
What's up? Yeah.
How are things in Indiana?
They're good. Just coming in off a little hangover. I had EJ at the house last night, so.
So he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
How close do you guys live?
We live about 30 minutes from each other.
Nice.
Yep. So we had a good time. We ate some fried crappie last night. And
what is fried crappie?
Did you catch them? They're fish.
Okay.
Yeah. My buddy actually caught them, and he needed to store them in my freezer because he ran out of room. And So I just ate it. Two bags of it.
Oh my God.
Is it?
Are you and EJ able to golf together, or is golf also closed in Indiana?
No, we're good. Yeah, we played golf yesterday. We played at like 2 o'clock. So,
yeah. And how's that working? Is it? Do you feel comfortable with it all and all that stuff?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no concern. Like we have 100,000 people in my county, and we have 40 cases, and all 40 cases are not, none of them are life threatening. So we're not really too worried around here.
Moving to Indiana.
Are you guys doing anything different on the course, like leaving the flag stick in, or?
Yeah, they have. So I've been to like 4 or 5 different places, and everywhere is using those pool noodles.
Yeah.
And they have them down about a half inch to an inch and leaving the flag in. So it's kind of putting from 5 feet and in with a flag in. I don't know how Bryson DeChambeau does it, because my eye line is just jacked up.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
So you're golfing. Are you doing any bowling? Have you bowled? When's the last time you bowled?
Last time I bowled was at the World Series. So it had been like the 15th of March.
Month.
Yeah, next time I pick up a ball, probably be June. Because we don't really have much to – we don't have any to bowl in May. Yeah. So, I mean, just going to take the whole month off. And if bowling center is even open by then, I'm not even sure.
Have they been in contact with you at all, PBA, or like with the players?
No, they haven't really sent out much. We do have a schedule still starting in August, I believe, with Coldwater. I'm not sure if the Colorado Flow Bowling event's going on, or the Lubbock one. I'm not sure, because they're like right where Junior Gold was, and Junior Gold got canceled. So,
yeah, I got a call with Coley tomorrow. Hopefully, find out something about July. Last week, Delmo told us that all the flights out of Australia were canceled until the end of July anyway for him.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to pull it off by July, but I hope we really can.
Yeah.
If we have the PBA League, we'll send the PBA private jet to Australia to get Belmo. Or we'll get Kraft to do it, man. Kraft sends his jet everywhere. Belmo's getting here. If we have to go get him,
White,
we'll get
man, him. That guy's motivated to get stuff done. He rented out a private island to try to get that fight together. Dana White?
Just throw Belmo on a boat, tell him to leave now, and he'll get here by then.
He'll be safe the whole way.
Put him on a raft. Make him swim here.
Well, as lucky as he is, he'll survive real easy, I promise.
So when you and EJ golf, does he have to give you strokes?
Take it easy
give
for
me
him.
Strokes? No, I beat him by two, and he
shit.
He picked up two questionable 4 or 5 footers. He walked up and just tapped and didn't go in, and I was like, come on, man, we're betting.
And he takes them?
Oh yeah. Oh,
so Ronnie, you're a real badass golfer as well, then, because isn't EJ like, you know, college golfer?
Man, I golf with EJ and Marshall this year.
Well, Ronnie's better than him.
Wow.
He has a hard time, BB.
Wow.
That's great. Impressive. That's great.
I love it.
Are you the best golfer of all of the bowlers on tour then? Or would you, one of you two, probably be the best golfer?
Yeah, me and EJ are the two best for sure. And then probably Tommy Jones. Hmm. I would say Marshall's probably 4th to 5th-ish.
He just started playing a few years ago is what he was saying.
So Ronnie, who's the worst?
Yeah. Worst golfer. Well, he doesn't really bowl anymore. He just stopped bowling this year, but Chris Loschetter was the worst. It's so god awful.
Is Tom Clark any good?
I don't know. I've never played with Tom.
Isn't Loschetter the guy we chanted USA, USA for back in the day in the PBA? I think he's the guy we chanted USA for. Is he Philly Hitman?
Yeah, he was Philly.
We also stood him up at a bar.
Well, you know, I mean, there's, we already know the Philly Hitman. We have our own corner of the bar, and we like to have our team meetings there. And if you don't have a drink in your hand, then you're not part of the team meeting. You're probably bowling two hole. We try to make sure our team covers at least half of what comes in that week when you have us. So
now, are you back on that squad?
No. I didn't get saved the year before, and I already let Couch know about it. He keeps texting me right now. Him and Watker are blowing up my phone right now. So
That's good news. Now we can hang out with you. Couch and I don't get along. he hates me.
It seems kind of mutual.
No, I like Couch. He's a good shit. But I understand why he's pissed.
Yeah. Well, what'd you do? I'd like to hear this because he's texting me right now, so I'd like to let him know.
You were there.
You probably were there. I don't know what year it was. I think second or third year of the PBA. On Facebook, hey, let's pregame at Gritty's. And then you guys were all at the table, and I think like Sparkles from our league, but nobody else I was meeting, and I'd already put my head in a space where I was pretty paranoid walking in. So I was going to be the guy like, hey, I'm just going to walk up and say, hey, it's Dr. Thunder, guys. Let's sit down with the Pro Bowlers. So I just freaking walked right out
and went to another bar
and was like, I got super paranoid. I'm at I don't even know where we went. Rosie's. I'm like,
we went to Doc
Four. Come to Rosie's if you want. So then most people went to Rosie's, and then Couch went nuclear on me when he got to the lanes, heckling me during the pro-am. It was great. I was like, look, it wasn't intentional. I know it looks that way, and it ended up being funny, but
it was intentional.
I was fucking stoned off my ass.
It's true. So you were there. So I remember walking in and not having gotten that text. And I was like, oh, wait, this is just a Philly. Oh, there's Sparkles. All right. So I sat with Sparkles. I get a beer. And then I look at my phone. I see you go, I walked in and walked out. I'm at Rosie's. I'm like, ah, fuck. I got a beer coming. No, I got to hang with Couch.
Anytime you guys can rudely intrude in our conversation, go for it. You'd be pissed if you didn't.
Yeah.
Next time I'm sitting down. I blew that one, but it made for a great story.
Okay,
yeah, so who the fuck are you?
Exactly.
Oh, he knows. If you tell
that's
him,
why I didn't
you,
sit down.
If you text him now, say Dr. Thunder from Bayside Bowl says he's glad he didn't have a beer with you, he would remember the story.
No, he'll respond. Who?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you got to catch Cal before 7 p.m. because after that he's passed out in bed. So every night.
Fair. So if you're not saved, then have people been talking to you about the draft though in general?
No one's really been talking about it. I mean, obviously there's some options where I'd get picked, but because I've bowled pretty well there. Sorry, my dog's barking at everything. But like, I'm not worried about it. I mean, I think I get picked this year. And last year, I just had such a shitty season. I couldn't even qualify. It'd be in the top 40 or whatever. And I hadn't been outside the top 24 in like 10 years. So it was like, the hell's going on? Why this year? And then this year, I've made – sorry, I got to get my dogs. Hold on. Hey, go. Sorry, I got two huskies, and they need attention.
Huskies.
Hey, no problem. Before Charlie's dog passed away, rest in peace, she was a part of a lot of our shows, and she was vocal.
She's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have a 300 at Bayside, right? You got a brick.
Yeah.
I know you're right in that building.
I'll be honest. The 12th shot for that was more nerve-wrecking than the TV 300. I swear to God. I'm not even kidding. You get the brick at Bayside – for the PBA 300 or TV or whatever, it is what it is, but you don't get a brick. I mean, it's – you give me 10 grand or a brick, I'll take the brick every time.
Dude, we get it. None of us have a brick, and we are freaking hoping we get one before we die. And if we don't, there's something we missed in our lives.
Yep. Actually, was I the first brick for singles?
No, EJ had one in qualifying for the singles event the first year.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, under Squirrel, that's right.
Okay. Squirrel.
Yeah.
How many pro bricks do we have, Farmer?
Like 10, probably.
I'm going to guess. Here we go. I can do Belmo a couple times, I think.
Almost twice.
EJ, Ronnie, Zeke Easy.
Yep.
Tim Mack.
The Dallas Strikers.
Yep. Tom Doherty.
Yeah, the Strikers bowled that against us.
Wes Malott.
Marshall Kent. No, Malott doesn't have one, I don't think.
Is it Big Nasty?
Oh, he does. He does. Yeah, Big Nasty.
Yeah, he does.
Marshall Kent has one.
Oh, I didn't know that. What's his brick name?
It's like Kent Spare. What is it?
Kent Spare.
Kent Spare, yeah. Yeah.
Should have been Superman, dude.
That's still true. Kent Spare.
Superman.
yours is Love Muscle, right, Ronnie?
Love Muscle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't tell
anyone, Farmer.
Boy, I can't wait till this year. Colleen's in the first row and everybody's yelling Love Muscle.
Yeah.
Well, you could get a name change right now, dude. We've had name change episodes before, so if you want a new Bayside Bowling name, we can do that. The brick will stay what it is.
Those come natural. Those come natural. This
Ron,
is what
what's
it
your
is.
What's your relationship with Tim Mack? Find out if you're on our draft board.
Really, really good with Tim Mack. Yeah. So and now I'm part of Storm, so he's been one of my reps most of the year. So
have you? Here we go. Ball Brand has a question. Do you like the switch? How were you feeling with the switch, or just what's that like for you guys? I mean, you must have known the Motive stuff really well, or right? You went from Motive
right.
To
right. I so went from Motive to Ebonite to them. So yeah, I've switched it around like the last 5 years, three times. So they're just different bowling balls. They're way stronger down lane than mostly all the bowling balls I've ever thrown. So I actually have the reps trying to drill me slower bowling balls because I'm not quite used to how much the storm balls whip down the lane. I can't control it because my ball already hooks enough down lane anyways.
Are you drilling pin down stuff?
Pin down, pin up. They like to drill a lot of stuff pin up with storm. But I've always drilled a lot of balls pinned down, so I'm kind of in a a layout argument with them a little bit because I think if you drill it pinned down, it slows down more, which is what I'm looking for.
What do you do covers as well? You throw in solids or hybrids?
Well, I've only thrown really solids for like the last 7 years because the companies I've been with, their pearls are like, I'm not going to say allergic to oil, but they don't hook in oil as much as the storm ones do, the pearls. So, you know, the last company I was with, their pearls hooked off the dry way too hard. So you always had to put surface on them to get them to slow down. So that's why I use the solids most of the time.
I can't hook. That's why I use a storm pearl. Because those fuckers hook. Even when you fuck it up, it hooks.
Well, one thing's for sure, when I come this year, I think I'm just going to have Dexter make me a set of flip-flops because I seem to be better in flip-flops in that building than I am anything else.
What do you remember about your title run there with the in the Pro-Am?
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember much until the 10th frame when they told me I needed all three of them to shut them out. And I'm wearing beach shorts, flip-flops, my Bopo hat.
Yes.
There you go.
Is this last year?
This is 2 years ago?
You won it with Zach's visible hand.
Yeah. Invisible hand, yeah.
Yeah, we all wore flip-flops. It was crazy. And or me and Zach did, actually.
Yeah.
But I remember getting the first one, and I remember taking my shirt off and bowling the next two without my shirt on and doubled.
I now remember this. I was browned out. Yeah. But yeah. Now that you say it, I was up there in the stands watching this. Yep.
But you also subbed in for somebody.
No, I did that the year before for EJ. That was the hospital year.
So, no, but EJ's been subbed out then a couple of times because didn't someone else take care of him?
Last year as well.
Last year too.
Dude, the worst sub out ever was Pete Weber couldn't make it. They put in Wodka. Wodka didn't close an entire frame, and they had to move him out of anchor, the poor guy. And they got eliminated in two rounds, and you basically told Wodka to go bleep himself. But yeah, Wodka's
the only
throw
Wodka
ever to get moved
right
out. Get him in. He's Wodka. Like, I'm so psyched to be in this, then didn't close a frame. Poor guy.
No. I'm going to let him know about that. That's hilarious.
That is a true story. No LEF in that. No letting exaggeration factor. No, that's exactly what happened. He might have closed one out of eight and got moved to the four hole.
Ready for our next guest? Ronnie, are you going to stick around to hang out with Kimberly?
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
Here we go.
Look at this.
Hey, honey, Kimberly's coming on. Would you like to say hi?
Heck yeah. Bring the wife in. Here we go.
All right. I think it's working.
They're all
it
ugly.
Seems like it. She's coming.
How you doing?
Hi.
Hello.
Kimberly's just logging on right now.
There she is. She made it. Hey. Can you hear us?
Connect to audio. Or...
We can't hear you. Push the screen.
I don't even see her yet.
Come on, Ronnie. You can do it.
Ronnie, there's another setting at the top where you can see all of them in the middle. It's like speaker view or a different type of view.
Gallery view. Are you on your phone, Ronnie?
Yeah. Oh, I see her now.
If you swipe the screen, yeah.
Kimberly, are you? Can we hear you? Can you hear us?
Yeah. How do you get them? How do you get everyone in the same screen?
Upper right, there's like a gallery view speaker.
Upper right, there's an option that you can click, and it'll switch the screen view. to like speaker view or gallery view.
Ronnie, how did you get audio the second time around? Oh, she's connected.
There we go. Here she comes.
We're live.
I think she's here. Are you here?
I see her.
Yeah. Welcome to Rooftop Sessions.
Thank you. I literally was like, what is the matter with this? And I all out. It took me some time though, but hello everybody.
Hello. How's life in LA?
Today it is not nearly as hot as it was yesterday, so it's quite nice. Hopefully you guys aren't getting any of that snow.
No, we tried yesterday.
Yeah, beautiful day.
We got a flash nor'easter a week ago. You missed saying hi to Ronnie's wife. She was trying to get in to say hi to you. She's still over there, Ronnie?
Come say hi.
Feeling better?
Yeah, she's feeling better. She's around and
there they are. There we go. So Kimberly, living in LA must be so much better than Maine in a time of quarantine because you get outside a lot more.
I would completely disagree with that. So,
all right, point counterpoint.
There's so many people here that you leave and they're just all over the place. So I'm like dodging people when I'm in Target. Yeah, I've only left the house three times since I got back on March 15th, and we're required to wear masks everywhere now to go into the stores. Yeah, it's not bad, but I don't know, people are still kind of crazy because they're the shelving for all of toilet paper or Kleenex or, just anything like that, gone, completely empty, completely empty.
Yep.
Is that how it is there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
pretty
so.
Much. Yeah, it's certainly low supplies. Not a lot of supplies for sure.
Yeah.
But we
went out for toilet paper today. He went to four places and couldn't find toilet paper at any of the four places, and then just went to like a restroom outside a parking lot and stole the roll and took it home.
Great move.
We have a delivery guy. There's a company called Who Gives a Crap, and they ship recycled paper, toilet paper, very environmentally friendly, and so we just got a load of that. But West is using it for his farm plate operations right now. But yeah, we're swimming in toilet paper, so you just got to open the stores, get it shipped.
Hungus, wasting toilet paper is like killing an angel, dude.
Oh, we're not wasting it. He's all still wrapped up. He's just pretending they're hay bales and feeding the imaginary cows.
Here, you guys are homeschool teachers too? Kimberly, are you teaching your daughter, or Ronnie, you keep teaching your kids anything? Are you the homeschool teacher?
So we've had to do that since the week before I got back. She started not having school. So they didn't start implementing the online courses until the end of March. So I was trying to be a teacher. I don't know about you guys, but they do this Common Core thing with math, and I can do everything else with ease, but this Common Core math makes me feel like I didn't pass third grade. It's so different. So it's double the work for me. I have to go online, I have to Google how to do Common Core math or what she's doing. I do it the way that I know how to do it, and then I have to figure out how she's supposed to do it so that she can turn in her homework. But other than that, it's going really good. I actually genuinely enjoy it.
I have 14-year-old twins, and I feel like I never learned math. Fortunately, my wife's a fourth grade teacher, so she gets it. But I'm like you. I'm like, did I take math? I thought I was good at math.
You have to do Common Core one?
Excuse me?
You do Common Core? Is that what your kids have to do?
Yes, they have. Yeah, I don't know that it's Common Core, but the way they do math now is completely different than how we did it growing up.
Sounds like Common
Core. It was more memorization for us growing up, and now it's like a lot of logic and thinking about the numbers and how they all come together. And I'm like, I just know 7 times 3 is 21 because somebody told me to memorize it.
Tables.
So much easier. I'm all like, can we just carry the one and be done with this? Yeah. But she's required to show work, so I have to learn how to do it.
You have to make up something.
Yeah, it sucks, to be honest. I absolutely hate it. And I'm not a math person, so.
Ronnie, are you doing kids at home as well? Teaching?
Yeah, I just tell them to YouTube and Google everything. That's how YouTube, that's teaching.
I'm on the YouTube. Yeah, I'm on YouTube. You can learn anything there.
Ronnie, how old are
your
children?
I can't figure it out. YouTube it. 15, 14. Actually, my 15-year-old's almost 16 here in July, and then I have a 10-year-old girl.
Oh my God! So you have are two of yours in high school? I can't believe having this disruption in high school. I mean, that suck. I'm psyched my kids are in eighth.
I'm going to have a sophomore, a freshman, and then Taylor's going to be in – what grade's Taylor in, fifth?
Yeah, fifth.
The life of the third child. I know.
Yep.
That's good. I'm so glad I'm not dealing with homeschooling myself.
Yeah, he's an empty nester over there, Farmer.
It's not empty, dude.
Not anymore.
Back. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I got a 20-year-old who's back for a semester of remote learning.
We're doing sleep training. That far behind. It's awfully fun.
A, B, C, D, fall asleep, please.
Yeah, I beg of you. So, Kimberly, I'd love to hear the story of how you, like, you first got invited in to do something with the PBA. Were you like, are you kidding me, bowling? Or were you psyched? Or, like, how did you get involved with PBA?
So, I worked, do you guys know David Bruner? He's the executive producer for all the bowling shows. He's a really, really tall guy. He's one of my dearest friends. And I worked with him on, like, Snowcross and ATV for several years. And he was doing bowling before I got there. And I guess the PBA had a few different people before I got there. And they said, he called me up because I had just had my daughter and I was taking a hiatus. And he said, I'm doing bowling now and they have this opening and I pitched your name and I should have probably asked you first if you even wanted to do it. And I was like, well, how long am I going to be gone for? Because I come from a motorsports background. That's what I covered. I covered extreme sports and motorsports. And I was like, I know nothing about bowling. I know how to throw it down a lane. And if it, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's in the gutter. And that's all I knew about it. And he said, they really want you. And ESPN already caged you. Come on. So that was it. I went. I think the World Series of Bowling was the first one that I ever did with the PBA. And you know what? I almost put on my bowling ESPN pink shirt that they gave me the first time I covered bowling. I almost wore it today, but it says ESPN in big letters. And I thought, nah, Fox might not be cool with that. So I did. I'll have to bring it out just to rock it.
How well received were you? Like your first time out, they know that you're this rookie. You might not know much about bowling. Was it a smooth transition?
So it was a smooth transition, and that's because everybody was really welcoming and they were so helpful, and they still are. This is my 10th season, I'm learning so much. Wow. And I'm a lot more familiar with the lingo, so it's a little bit easier for me to talk about it. And then now I listen when I'm in interviews and stuff, and they'll be talking about, you know, transition or when they're coming up to the line or how they're changing their hand or how they're holding the ball. And I listen and I'm like, oh my goodness, I totally know what he was talking about. And even like, you know, last year, I'll be having some conversation and I'm still not completely understanding because it's ever evolving. And, you know, I mean, look at Ronnie. I mean, look how much he puts into training and what he does. And they all take it so seriously because it's something that they love, and they're all professionals at it. That's the thing. But I love it. I really, really enjoy covering it. And it's like a big giant family on the road. And I think that's one of the things that I miss the most about being on the road is seeing everybody and just that, you know, fun friends and family kind of atmosphere.
It is a super fun group overall. I also, I miss every transition. I don't know any of that stuff either. So I'm with you. And I've been doing it for 10 years too.
Got a percentage.
So I have a question. Who is the worst person you've ever interviewed? What is the worst interview you've ever gotten? What is the best?
Oh,
just call
man.
Them out.
No,
Ronnie,
I love that you're totally safe.
I thought he was talking to us.
You're totally safe. You're totally safe.
We'll answer this too if it helps you.
I don't really have a worst interview. I do. It's not a bowler, but in general, I can say is when someone gives me a one-word answer. I'm either going to try and pull more out of them, or I'm just going to be like, okay, peace out. Because if they're giving me a one-word answer, it's because they're either irritated or they don't want to speak to me. But get them to speak to me, and yeah. So
you do. Maybe their name do make people nervous. So
most of the time we're live, and what's really funny is I always, even now, after all these years of doing it, I still get really nervous when I step in front of the camera because we're live, and I don't get a chance to do mine over again. So that's what it is.
It's got to be super hard to interview somebody that's just come off a loss, and you have to talk to them immediately, and they're hot, and they're pissed off, and they're mad about what they did wrong, and then you have to talk to them, and they have to like calm down, and like how do you approach those interviews?
So the loss interviews were absolutely the hardest interviews that I've ever had to do, and I'm kind of really glad that they've done away with them per se, because those were tough, not only on them, but it was for me, because it's, you have to find a ground of asking them what went wrong without using the same question over again, but also asking in a way that doesn't sound like, well, you just blew it.
Yeah. Tell me about that shitty shot in the seventh frame.
Yeah. I was like, that's kind of what I want to say. And sometimes, you know, you have an interview who just really does not want to talk and you know it. And then I'm like, please just don't be aggro and let's get this over and done with. But, you know, after like year two of doing those type of interviews, they were just like, okay, so I got to stick around for this interview, right? And I'm like, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Tom Doherty, you just rolled 100. What went wrong?
He woke up that day.
You can ask about that interview now, and he was so funny about it, and he laughed it off so much that it's now kind of, you know, he can joke about it, which is great.
Well, you have to laugh that off. I mean,
embrace it. Yeah,
this is a guy that averages 230. You roll 100. I mean, come on. When's that going to happen again? Unless you go 104, 101 in league. I mean, like, this year, Robin, like I did.
The U.S. Open 2 years ago, I think it was last year, actually. We're bowling next to each other in match play, maybe. I had a rough start. Like, I needed a mark somewhere in the ninth or 10th frame to even shoot 100. It was bad. And I was in fourth or fifth place at the time when this was happening. I struck, it was the ninth frame, and he yelled the F-bomb so loud because he was so mad I was going to beat his score. Like, he wanted me to open so bad and not shoot 100.
Yeah.
He was rooting.
How hard is that?
So against me.
By Bopo.
Yeah, that does. On the
round.
In the U.S. Open, like, one day usually is always like a, like literally a completely flat pattern, right?
Right.
Or whatever. Like, how hard is that? Like, what is your margin of error that you guys have as pros to hit those shots? Like, one board?
Well, just to kind of give you an idea.
You can use it.
I bowled with Belmo on the flat this year. On the fresh, the first two games, he threw plastic down the middle. That tells you. It's just really hard. I mean, you have to have the right roll, and it has to be at the right break point with the right speed just in order to hit the pocket. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, the hardest thing is just – it just hooks so much when it gets down lane on that pattern. And just trying to control the back end. A lot of people do urethane. So it just
– So do you just have to change everything that you do? Like,
oh, yeah,
from
yeah,
your
yeah.
normal shot, you just change
yeah.
everything?
You're just praying to hit the head pin and then leave something you can pick up. So if we put that pattern out in Maine, we would all average about 143. Wow. Definitely on the old side of the building where it hooks more, it would be so impossible.
Ronnie, is it a?
But I'm up
like our
it.
Pattern this past.
What's
past
that?
Year. I said, is it a lot harder when you guys have to do two patterns going back and forth? I mean, in my mind, I would think that it is, but I don't know. Is it for you guys? Is it really that much different? From one pattern
to
the next?
Mentally it's fine because we can kind of get over that part, but physically, like, just carrying all the bowling balls and stuff we gotta carry, it's a pain in the ass. We don't like it because of that. We would rather bowl one round on one pattern, one round on another pattern, and then match play maybe use both, because when you have four people on a pair and they all have 9 to 12 bowling balls down there with them, it's exhausting. I only bring six regardless. I use three on one lane and three on the other. These guys are carrying around like four bags, and I'm not doing it.
Wow.
We have guys in our leagues that carry around four bags and average 178.
Well, you gotta look the part.
Use one ball. Hope it hits something.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm a one ball bowler.
Chasing the brick. Chasing the brick.
We are chasing the brick. Cheese has 7 299s.
It's not quite right, but that is my high score currently.
That is brutal.
How many cheese? Three?
I've got 1 299, but I've got several games between 290 and 299. I'd rather not talk about it. No, oh, but what you were saying earlier about the brick, like, it's definitely something that people want, and I think they would, they would give up a lot of money just to have the brick. They'd rather have the brick.
Well, we've had some random ones too. We had some guy come in there, smashed from a bar, house shoes, house ball, roll 300. This guy wedge, like he never left-handed guy just pulled one with a house ball out of nowhere.
That's brutal. Like
Bert the Bandit got one on a Friday. I mean, Bert the Bandit's a good bowler, but we have some that like gutter boy guys like that. You expect to get 300s. The one that's like just comes out of nowhere. Everybody just goes crazy, and now that person's like royalty for life. They're on the wall. They bring their kids in. They show them, that's dad's brick. I rolled a 300 Friday at noon.
Question. That brick area is starting to fill up pretty fast. Where's your next spot at?
Just the other side of that doorway. Zach's been trying to save it for me to get one to start the new column, but it might be, I think we've run out of time.
We have to wait for a while, dude. This will be like your next banner.
Yeah.
Depends on who gets the next one.
You are going to have a next banner.
Maybe it's time to bowl in flip-flops and have 12 shots of lemon ball.
Lemon drops.
Is that what you do? Farmer,
we're in.
Yeah, that's where I'm in for flip-flops.
What do you
rest in peace.
Do you think there's any chance of PBA League, seriously, this year?
I don't know about July. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll hear in the next few weeks when the draft's going to happen. Yep. And it's probably going to be something like we're doing now.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Kimberly might even know a little more of that, but I really don't. But, I mean, I still think there's a chance. I mean, supposedly the numbers are coming way down, so I can see a lot of stuff opening up by middle of June minimum. If that's the case, we can book travel and do all that. So.
PBA League isn't supposed to be to the end of July, right? So, as of right now, it's still on the schedule. They have set everything else up until the beginning of July. But I don't know. The thing is, and I don't know about you guys, but one of the most amazing things I love about coming to Portland is the atmosphere, and it's the crowd, and it's all you guys there, and it's the excitement. And if that's taken away, that's going to kind of dull it down. And I really want everyone to be there and it be awesome. And the excitement and the electricity that everybody's used to when we come to Bayside. But as of right now, it's on the schedule and you never know what's going to happen. It's still a few months away. But all of this is just so scary and kind of crazy that you just never know what's going to happen. I don't know about you guys, but they extended our stay at home order until mid-May now.
Same here.
Yeah.
We're May 15th right now.
So are we. Yeah. But as of right now, the PBA says, yes, it's going to happen, but they've furloughed everyone from Bolero. Not everyone. And they're still there and from the PBA until the end of June. So
I was saying
PBA League with no fans would be rough. It's just a totally different experience.
I'm talking to Coley tomorrow. Hopefully I'll learn something in that call. We'll see,
And you'll have to let us know.
What is going to be the best outfit, the quarantine outfit, if we do have this? Is there going to be a group of people with
hazmat suits?
End of the world hazmat suits coming in there? And
before it broke. It doesn't look as funny as it did then. But yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, last time we got killed for all our friends going out to Vegas. So, we came as nuns and priests and, pimps. And so I don't know. I don't know what the theme will be this year. We'll have to get our head wrapped around it once we know where to go.
Who comes up with these?
Everybody.
There's a few usual suspects, but it's a collective effort. White Russian is definitely involved heavily. Lala from, I don't know, she's not on Turkey Club anymore. Where is she? What do they call themselves now?
Turkey Club.
So there's a few, a few main people, and then people just get on texts and emails and say, hey, this is the theme, and there could be two different themes, and everybody just jumps all in. I mean, we have a bowling ball party every year that has a theme. So this is what we do. Like this year, it's Wes Anderson movies. That's why I'm growing this beard. This is the first beard I've ever had in my life. I'm going to be Steve Zissou from Life Aquatic. Have the blue on, the red snow cap. So we're down with the costume parties. That's our thing.
Yeah, if it happens, there'll definitely be a lot of Wes Anderson references in there, or at least one of the shows this year.
You know, last year, didn't they do all the sashes, and didn't you get a sash, Kimberly? That said, like, I forgot what it said.
I did.
Miss PBA, maybe?
Yes, I did. It was super, super sweet. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And that's the stuff that I think everybody is used to seeing, and they want to see it, especially when we do the PBA leagues and we come there. So I really hope it happens, and I really hope that the crowd can be there, because it's just it just makes it super special.
Hey, Ronnie, do you have a preference of the old side or the new side of Bayside?
I actually like the shows and everything in the old side. It was, I don't know, I guess because I was there the first couple of years, it was on the low side. So it was just amazing atmosphere. The other side, I mean, there is more room and stuff, but like, I don't know, something about being able to walk around, maybe spilled beer on the approach or something, or have to, I mean, just something about being that close to everybody. I mean, on the new side, you can't have a woman falling under the gutter while the match is going on. So
that's one of our good friends. Clarified Gutter is her bowling name.
We'll take that as a challenge.
It's better over on that side, because you can get louder and we're closer. But I mean, the other side's a great arena for like pro bowling.
We made one very small change last year, which was just getting 4-row bleachers instead of 3. And so you got one extra level of depth, and it looked, I mean, it's better. You can make that side better, but yeah, in terms of sound, you're never going to beat that like low ceiling on the east and just get that.
Yeah.
People will just jump on you when you strike down there.
Yeah.
You got the picture of rushing the lanes last year. It was pretty nuts. Yeah.
Do you guys remember the kid who yelled in the middle of my swing?
Yeah. He's been banned from Bayside, actually.
Who was that, August?
One of the sponsor's sons or something.
No.
No, Hesse Lou got thrown out for throwing in somebody's backswing. I don't remember whose it was.
No, he said it was a kid screaming, like a younger kid.
No, this was one of the, what's the brew sponsor you guys used to have there?
Shipyard.
Shipyard. Yeah, I feel like it was like the owner's son that was there.
That's
and he yelled miss it or
oh
he no, yelled right, it was different. Right in my downswing.
Oh God.
And everyone just like looked at him like they were gonna kill him, like Kirk, everyone.
Wow.
And he was just so drunk, he didn't know what he was doing. He just trying to be part of it.
Hey, Ronnie, did you make the shot though?
I don't remember. I don't really remember if it was like something I needed or not. I mean, I just know I yelled in the middle of my swing, and I'm glad I hit my ankle and hit someone in the crowd with a bowling ball.
We talked about that on a show last week. They're like, if you're going to cheer while we're bowling, you have to cheer through our release. Don't stop cheering right when we're about to release, because then we're expecting that noise when we let it off our hand. And then it goes from to silent, and then you're like, oh. So, yeah, we've been told a lot of things that we're learning, what we should do with the noise.
I'll tell you, like, from our standpoint, it's not about throwing a strike shot there. It's when you leave a single pin during the match, that is the hardest single pin you've ever had to pick up in your life, because you do not want to miss it. You'll get booed for like 10 minutes straight, and you might be off the team next year.
Norm Duke talked about that year one. He's like, I thought guys were joking when they just kept missing spares left. He's like, nope, it was just the atmosphere and those lanes are tough. But yeah, we're changing that. We're getting rid of the make you miss your spare chance. Like pick it up, clean your plate,
and pick it up or out.
Yep, they're out. We've banned them.
Well, we still got to yell Kent Spare though when he leaves one. So
we're in for that.
Yeah, Kimberly, you said you used to cover like esports and motorsports and stuff like that. Is that how you got involved? Because aren't you part of like a dirt track, like a company that builds dirt bike tracks and stuff?
So my fiance owns a construction company. And I actually met him because he used to build freestyle motocross courses. And since I used to cover dirt bikes, freestyle motocross and stuff like that, that's actually how we met. And he did that for many years, but now he has a construction company and we mainly do grading work. But we still do a lot of Red Bull events. So we do Straight Rhythm, and we have a few projects that are coming up for this year. We just did, I was doing this stuff for History Channel for Travis Pastrana when he jumped the fountains in Las Vegas for Evo Live, it was what it was called. And he did all the coordinates for all that as well. So he still does some of that, but he's out of it, most of it, because honestly, to be completely honest, the insurance on it is astronomical. It is so expensive. It makes it almost not worth it. So
to basically build a ramp and go, trust me, this angle's perfect to jump these fountains and land perfectly, Travis. Just make sure you're going 82 miles an hour and nothing can go wrong.
Exactly. Well, there's so much testing that goes into that even before they start. So, it took about 4 months for Travis to get to where he was because he did three different things. One of them jumped over like 20 buses or something like that. And the distance that's required to do that, you have to hit the ramp at a certain pitch and you have to have the motorcycle hit at a specific speed. And so he had to do speed testing and then they had to push the ramp back and go a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. And this last one for Evo Live, this kid, Axel, he hurt himself 2 days, like I thought he was gonna die type hurt himself. It was so bad of a crash. It was scary. And that's one of the things that I don't like about covering motorsports because someone could actually die and it's actually happened. But yeah, it's amazing to watch, but it's absolutely also terrifying. So, but yeah, I love doing that stuff. I love covering it. It's where I started off. And so I know, you know, all the athletes involved in that, but you know, it's pretty rad to watch.
What do they do to protect themselves in practice when they're doing those jumps? Like, cause I watched some 30 by 30 about one of these guys and the amount of broken bones he had to get to the height that he wanted off a BMX ramp it's just like, wow, this guy's pain threshold is through the roof.
So the only thing that they can do is, they wear leathers. They do have protective gear under it, but they can't wear too much protective gear because they need to be light. That's one of the things that they can get the distance that they need to get because they were trying to get to 400. So he has to be light. The protective gear underneath him has to be light, but he also has to be able to still maneuver the bike and land because it's the landing that's the hardest because when he lands, your shocks are going to give way. It doesn't matter how good they are and they will bottom out and he has to be able to control that. And if you have too much stuff on, he won't be able to maneuver and hold the bike up the way that he needs to. So it has to be light.
That's crazy.
So the only thing that they put on that's really protective gear is leathers. And it's so that if he does go down, he doesn't, lose all of his skin.
Wow. These guys are wired differently than everybody on the planet.
Yeah, and then they just get up and they do it again. And it's terrifying. And I think growing up doing that kind of stuff, you just know that you just have to. If you don't get right back on the bike and try it over again, you're not going to.
Yeah, how do you make a jump like that for the first time? Like, at what point? I mean, I know you work yourself up to it, but still.
Yeah. They work themselves up to it. So they'll start at like 100 feet, and then they'll go 150, and they'll feel whether or not they have it in them to go further, or if they need to pitch the ramp a little bit higher, or if they need, the other thing that goes against them is if there's not enough room for them to speed up. Like for the Travis Pastrana thing in Vegas, he had to start in second gear. And that was in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And that was a little bit scary. Something else that happened on that is it was so damn hot. It was 112 degrees. I had to go the day before and get one of those IVs where they just so that you have fluids in you because it was so hot. I was like, I think I'm going to pass out if I have to stand out here all day. It was so hot that our helicopter broke down 30 minutes into a 3-hour live show. It was crazy.
Oh.
Yeah. Look, just a little bit different than bowling. Just a little.
We need a helicopter angle in bowling, though, I think. We got to figure that out.
You could do one of these shows with EJ. Follow EJ at a
say, that's I would have to like say that we've sent more people. We've sent more people from Bayside to the hospital than those wrecks right now. So, I mean, just because
we don't edit
twice.
Yeah, what's the BOPO insurance looking like?
I saw that Vegas jump on TV, and I was just on the edge of my seat. Like, holy heck. This guy's like doing this for real. There's so many things that could go wrong. And when you land it, you're just like, oh, thank God. You're not even impressed by the feat. You're just glad the person's alive. It's crazy.
Exactly.
You're relieved. You're not like impressed. You're relieved.
But then you step back, you are impressed. But like just in the moment, you're like, oh, they lived. Okay, great. I'm not going to watch somebody like get crushed on TV.
Yeah, like the well, the one guy walked a high wire across a volcano. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, Enda.
So scared.
Just how do you do that?
Hey, these guys have no fear.
Okay. Oh, sorry, your dad just failed. He's gone though. You'll never see him again. Awesome.
That was good TV. Or was it
happened
bad?
To Steve Irwin too, man. He's out there swimming with. I mean, it's crazy. These guys put their lives on the line. It's what they love.
It's true. Very true.
What do you got, right, Farmer?
So before we let these guys go, I'd love to hear from them if they have an official cocktail of quarantine that they would recommend to everybody.
Yeah, asking for us.
Let me go get it. Let me go get it.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
While he's researching.
Kimberly, is there anything that you've been drinking quite a bit of on quarantine?
I love me some beer, but I have been drinking a lot of wine. I love me some wine, but Amaretto wine. You guys ever heard of it?
Yeah, giant. Yes.
Yep.
I love it. It's my favorite, and I could probably go and grab you a bottle right now to show you.
I have a bottle.
What do you have?
Horse Soldier. That feels like a good bowling name.
Hey, that's your new bowling name, dude. You know I'm here to love muscle.
Game change episode, after all.
Yep. Good call, Ronnie. I like it. Horse Soldier. Right. What is that? What type of alcohol is that?
Yeah, it's like just a straight bourbon whiskey. It's actually made in Columbus, I believe. Columbus, Ohio.
Known for their bourbon.
Throat burns thinking about it.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. They have three different ones. They have like this, platinum, and something else. It's like three levels.
Hungus did a whiskey show last week.
Half a bottle of Jameson.
One-man show. Really, it was pretty
good. You guys had Guppy and Kyle on that show, right?
That was the first.
That was 2 weeks ago, and that was great.
Oh my god,
that was so much fun.
Yeah. Interviewing them on their own is pretty great, but together, I cannot imagine how that.
We had them sitting on the same couch with Tim Mack in the room, with Norm Duke in the room, the four of us in the room. Who else was in there?
Tom Clark joined us.
Tom Clark joined us. I mean, we had them all in Zoom, and it was just nonstop laughs. It was so much fun. That was like 3 weeks ago, I think. Norm Duke killed it too. He murdered Hungus, then he killed Farmer at the end. I mean, it was a funny show.
Norm is really funny, and he's an amazing interview. He's really fun.
He was awesome. He killed it.
Tim walked outside with his Zoom still going on his phone, talking to his neighbors.
That's funny. I forgot about that part.
It was a blast.
Well, Norman.
Okay. Norman.
Good.
All right, well, I'm going tequila. We have Hungus with beer. We have, what do we got? Thunder with beer. We got cheese with beer. Amaretto wine. Some Horse Soldier whiskey.
Yeah.
Cheers, everybody. Cheers.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing cheers. Okay, I guess I'm cheersing this way.
All right, there we go. Oh, yeah. Shaking the bottle.
Thanks for doing it, guys.
What a good show.
Guys, thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Stay safe. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Rooftop Sessions. We hope everyone in the Bowl Portland community is staying safe, and we cannot wait to see you all back at Bayside and on the lanes.
When will I see you?